You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet.
And story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've just been listening to Alex Dormont and his boys and girls. And
the Hot that, Texas Swing Band out of Hot Texas.
Is that a town?
Absolutely. That's all of Texas, I think. We are so delighted that you're joining us tonight. This is episode 172. If you're catching this later or you want to repeat and catch it again. And we are just so happy to have you with us. Jim, where are we broadcasting from tonight?
Well, I'll tell you. We are broadcasting from a tour bus with nationally acclaimed country singer Olivia Harms and her band, The Roadrunners. We just left Northern California heading for Austin, Texas. We're doing 21 shows in 20 days. It's going to be a hoot.
Hey, let's look for Olivia. Let's call her. Olivia, are you on the bus? Hello, welcome, Olivia. We're delighted to have you with us. Are you hearing us okay?
No, it's not.
Olivia, are you there? Hello, hello, Olivia, are you there? Oh.
She was there.
She was there. We didn't have any trouble a moment ago. Olivia, could you exit the studio and come back in to the StreamYard link? Maybe? Okay, let's see. Well, we are excited to have Olivia Harms with us. She'll be rejoining us shortly, I'm sure. We've known Olivia for a number of years.
A long time.
And she's an amazing singer-songwriter. We'll be talking a bit about the songwriting process tonight. We'll be hearing some of her music. We're hoping that she's able to click back in and rejoin us. Do you have a first memory of here she is again. Olivia, can you hear us now?
Oh, I can. Yeah, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden I was in the silence, but now I'm back.
We don't either.
It must be that snow that you had today in Northern California. The air is all confused. Anyway, we're delighted to have you with us. This is live and things happen out there, we know, right? Things can happen live when you're performing. I'm sure you've had all kinds of weird glitches. So
you always have to be ready to kind of power through anything. So I am used to it. You just keep on rolling.
Yeah. Well, we were saying that we were on your tour bus with you, and we were heading from Northern California to Austin, Texas, and we were going to look for you on the bus. So imagine that we're all together on your tour bus tonight.
I love it. That sounds perfect.
So let's see, Jim, do you want to give us a little bit of background on Olivia?
We will. We got a little bio here. Olivia Harms was born into Western music royalty. But the rhinestone cowgirl has stepped out on her own to craft a sound that's equally part Texas, Bakersfield, and Nashville country. The daughter of Western Music Hall of Fame member Joni Harms, Olivia grew up on a 150-year-old ranch in Canby, Oregon, and made her first appearance on stage when she was 2 days old. Can you believe that? Today, Olivia has found a niche genre, playing music for Western lifestyle and honky-tonk lovers. She has been recognized for her hard work and perseverance to stay true to herself and play music that is authentic to her. In March of 2022, Olivia was honored to be in Cowgirl Magazine's third class of 30 under 30.
Yeah.
Very good. Congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, this is just so fun. We both have memories of kind of seeing you with your mom over the years, and just so delighted when you released the Rhinestone Cowgirl album. We were so excited for that project. So thank you for joining us tonight. We know you are a very busy woman with touring and writing and all that you do. So thank you for sitting down with us tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm tickled to be here.
You know, 2 days, nobody because makes a stage present in 2 days. What happened? How'd it go?
I don't know, Jim. You know, I guess that's what happens when you have a musical mama, you know, 2 days on the ground and right out of the chute, you're on to your first show.
So tell us a little bit more about your early years and growing up on the family property, and just give us a little bit of about more background, Olivia.
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys know how it started, and that is kind of a very popular story that I'm always so proud to share, is that I really think I might have gotten my start so much sooner than most musicians. You know, usually they'll say, even on the early side, of 3 or 4, but not many of them can say 2 days. So I've got a little bit of an edge when it comes to that. But I really did just grow up on the road with my mom. So I frequently get the question, do you remember your very first time when, you know, you sang on stage, or do you have your first memory of what song you might have performed? And I can't. I don't really remember. I mean, there's a few maybe, but I couldn't tell you which came first, because I just always was part of my childhood. I think one of the first songs I learned to perform on stage might have been I Want to Be a Cowboy's Sweetheart, which is a classic. We love that one. But yeah, I just always knew that it was something that I loved. I loved making people smile. I really loved making them happy. And I also loved watching my mom do that. And growing up and watching so many people come up at the end of a show and say, Joni, oh my gosh, your song that you wrote really helped us through a difficult time. And I couldn't have gotten through this family loss without you, or this song really makes me look back on a memory, just all those things that you can watch music do for other people. And it was kind of a done deal for me that I really wanted to try to do that and carry on that light and make people happy and bring joy through music, because it's just such a wonderful thing that I've been able to watch through the years. So
yeah,
I'm thankful now I get to call it my job.
Well, that's great. You know, we used to run into you and your mom, or maybe just you, or maybe just your mom, in Denver for that Western Stock Association trade show.
Yeah, that was always fun. Eli Barcy, too. We would see one or the other, or both of you.
You know, I told Bobby, I said, you know, I sort of remember you singing a song with your mom when you were about, I thought you were about 10.
But yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, would that have been in Denver? Where was that? You know?
And it was more years than we can, you know, our... We're having that same kind of challenge. It's all the years are sort of blending together, and we have that challenge. But music, as you were just discussing or chatting about, you know, music and memory, they just go hand in hand, don't they? You hear a song just instantly you're transported. It's like smelling a fragrance that you knew at some time, and you're just transported. It's just... how wonderful to be a creator of that.
Yeah. It is magic. Yeah. I've said that too, Bobby, for a long time. You know, like, music is the closest thing we have to time travel.
Yeah.
That and, you know, like, way, like you said, a smell, because there are songs that will come on and they just take you right back to a moment or a feeling, and you just kind of feel like you're right back there reliving it. And so that I'm able to give that to people, or comfort through music. There's been so many times where I'm going through something tough and, you know, you hear a song and you're like, oh, this is just what I needed right now. I'm just really fortunate that I'm able to attempt to do that. Not saying that I get to, but I sure do try.
You know, you managed to work college in and graduate.
I did.
I think that's great.
Thank you.
You know, so that's, I don't know, I guess someday you could run the farm, or a bunch of farms, actually.
Well, ranches. I suppose it'll come in handy. Truly, I didn't want to go to college. That was really pulling teeth for me to go. But my mom, being so musical and making that her career, she had really seen the ups and downs of music career. There's so many valleys, there's so many peaks. I mean, you have a high moment, and then, you know, it seems like right after that there's a low time. It's just, that's the music or entertainment industry in general. And so she really encouraged me, as did my dad, and they said, it's great that you want to do music, but we want you to go to college. We really want you to have a backup plan just in case. And so truly, that's my great. Second love is agriculture. I absolutely adore agriculture. I grew up on a cattle ranch that's been in my family since 1872. So I thought, I guess if one day I can't sing, hopefully I can help other people, keep their generational ranches or farms and their family, and tell folks about agriculture, because if anybody likes to eat or drink, we all have farmers to thank for that. It doesn't just show up at the grocery store. So I did end up going to college, and I'm really grateful I did. I think the business side of my degree that I got, which was ag business, has really helped. In, you know, even just like, I am a small business myself, so just running my own career and making sure the ends meet, or when I plan a tour, making sure that I can have X amount going out to each of my band members each week, pay for gas, pay for lodging, food, all the things that you incur, and then still come out on top after a tour and say, well, I guess that was worth being gone for 3 weeks. I made a little money. Yeah. You know, all that stuff is really important. And I don't know that I would have figured it all out if I hadn't gone to college and got a little help with the business side of things.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot of cattle on a ranch right now, right?
We do. Yeah, I really went from one ranch to another. I didn't intend on that, but I got married to a rancher in Northern California. So just one place to the next, truly.
We are really thrilled. We're going to be playing some short clips. They're little teasers for all of you that are joining us tonight of some of Olivia's music. And I would love it if you would give us the backstory, because it's a perfect segue into I'm On My Way. And then when you're done, Sam, our DJ tonight, will bring it on. So tell us a little bit about where this song happened. How did it come about?
Well, it was a few years after I graduated from college, and I was really making a run in the beginning of doing music. And then we all know what happened in 2020, and COVID shut things down. And I had moved to Nashville right after college, so I had been living there, but then I didn't want to be stuck in an apartment during COVID. So I moved back to the ranch in Oregon, and I was happy to have wide open spaces during that first couple months when so many other folks did not, and they were maybe locked up in an apartment. But I got to thinking about how I really wanted to continue to play music. I was chomping at the bit to get back out there. And I thought, no one's going to chase my dream except for me. I'm the only one that can do it. I'm the only one that can take this into my hands. And I don't ever want to look back later in my life and wonder what if. So I thought about it for a while, and I had two cow dogs. So I thought, I guess all my songwriting buddies are playing a lot of music down in Texas right now. That you don't shut Texas down. It stays open. So I thought, that's where I got to go. And I figured if I was going to go on a trip, the dogs had to come. I had a place to live. So I went out and I bought a travel trailer, and I hooked it up to my little F-150 pickup. And I told folks, this is my plan. I'm going to go to Texas. I'm going to go find places to play music. Most people told me I was absolutely nuts. And I said, I don't care. I believe I can do this. You know, it might be hard. I might have to change a couple tires, but I'm not willing to give up. You know, the only person that can work hard at this is me. So off I went, and I was in the middle of New Mexico before I realized how far away from little Canby, Oregon, I was. But I thought, here I am. I'm on my way. And so I wrote this song. Especially because I figure there's plenty of other folks out there, whether they have a big dream or a small dream or just something that they're itching to do. You're never too old or too young. You should always just take that very first step and get on your way. So you never look back and wonder what if. So if you're a dreamer, this next song is for you.
Okay. Here's a little bit of I'm On My Way, and then we'll be right back.
Dreamed about those bright lights, wondered what it feel like. Wishing on a star won't take you far. Played every place in this small town, from the coffee house to the fairgrounds, till I set out on my own. I was born to roam. Don't matter what they say, I'm on my way. I'm gonna try, spread my moving faster every day. God only knows where this road goes. I'm on my way.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Ronnie with a Writer. With country recording art extraordinaire, Olivia Harms.
Well, thank you.
That sounded so fabulous.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
Wow, that's just such a great song.
You know, we're starting to talk about touring a little bit. So you were touring by yourself. You haven't even lined up a gig. You just driving west.
I might have found like a couple and I was like, well, we'll fill in the gaps. But truly for a long time, I even like, you know, when I was driving the trailer around, I didn't have a booking agent. I didn't have someone out there kind of being a woodpecker for me, you know, bothering folks. And it was all on me. So I'd have to go through and, you know, Google or find other venues in Texas and then pester the crap out of them and hope that maybe they'd try to hire me. And then you're just kind of, you're just following up and there you go.
Yeah. So you had the trailer. Yeah. So it was a camper kind of trailer that you could stay in. You were kind of living in it as you were traveling. That had to be very convenient with your dogs.
Great. It really was. I still have it actually. It's a Keystone Hideout. And so it was like a 24-foot trailer and little bumper pole. And so I just loaded it up with all of my hats and boots and clothes and enough dog food and things. Right,
you had a question on that.
That's the question. Okay, so we dread packing. My dream is to just have my favorite cosmetics in my handbag. And then when we get there, buy the things that we need. We hate packing. So I can't imagine trying to put it together. So do you have some packing tips for those of us that, you know, really, really hate packing? Olivia, especially if you are a hat and boot girl, like, you know, how do you figure that out?
It definitely is a tough one, Bobby, for sure. Like I don't necessarily love packing either, but I have had to try to get good at it. Just because, especially when, you know, in the trailer, it wasn't that bad at all because I could take X amount of boots. You know, I used most of the kitchen storage for my boots in my travel trailer. Honestly, I had a cupboard above the couch that was filled with boots, and then like the side was filled with purses and jewelry and stuff. I mean, it was very little food. But it's not always me getting to tow my trailer with me, and usually I'm just stuck with a 50-pound suitcase, and I'm always probably trying to convince my airline attendant checking me in to let me have like another 3 or 4 pounds because I'm constantly overweight with those darn things. But the packing for a couple of weeks out of one bag can definitely be a challenge. I mean, especially when you're going, you know, summer tours in Montana and Wyoming, the weather you think might be nice, but you could still get snow. So you kind of have to have a little bit of everything so you can be warm enough. So I've found, you know, like having a good warm jean jacket is always a go-to. And then I think the easiest thing I've found for my packing is I usually choose kind of a color scheme. Mm-hmm. So I usually say, all right, I'm going to have a lot of neutrals, or this one I'm going to have like pops of pink, and I choose a lot of pink things or baby blue and then work that all in. And that way I can use one or two pairs of boots and one hat with the same color scheme, but it's still never easy.
Very good tip.
You know,
very good tip.
How long did you go solo before you started adding a band member or two or three, or how did that play out?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I suppose you could say that I've been going solo on and off since 2 days old, you know, because some of my first performances were really on my own. And I had some band performances after high school, and while I, you know, played a little bit here and there through college. But I would say when I really started pursuing music full time was probably 2017, 2018, as soon as I was done with college. and had a couple years where it was mostly solo, because, you know, that's the easiest way to book yourself when you're traveling around, or even in Nashville, or just little spots here and there. They can almost always make room for a singer and her guitar, where sometimes a full band, they have a harder time accommodating. And so I was probably a good 3 or 4 years before I really started getting recognized that I had a band. And then people would say, oh, you have a band? I'm like, yes, I have a band.
Oh, we can have a band. That's so fun. We're going to take a very quick break. We're going to step away for just a moment to share some news from our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. If you are a writer, they are standing by to assist you. And when we come back, we'll be back out on the road again with our special guest, Olivia Harms. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. We're talking special guest Olivia Harms. You know, we were talking the other night about house concerts, and sometimes house concerts are kind of, you know, that's not my special gig, you know, but it's okay as a filler. But you had a special one, I think, didn't you?
Yeah,
I did. I did have a very special one. I did. A couple years ago, maybe 2 Valentine's Days ago, so 2024, I was asked to play a house concert in Fort Worth for a spell. I called Fort Worth home. I still have a house there. And so I was like really living and basing myself in Texas after I got tired of living with 2 cow dogs and a travel trailer. I bought a house. So I got asked to go to a very nice neighborhood in downtown Fort Worth and do a little birthday concert. And the gal that had hired me had said, you know, it's going to be very intimate. We might have some special guests there. So, you know, please basically hold yourself together and don't fangirl. And I said, okay, sure. Yeah, I've grown up around lots of different people, so I can definitely keep it together. Don't worry. I'll be very professional. And so I got there and she said, I'm going to have you set up right in front of the fireplace. There's about 8 guests. And we're going to get done with dinner. We'd like you to play 30 or 40 minutes. And I thought, well, that sounds great. I can do that. Easy peasy. And so I set up and guests start rolling in. And one of the 4 couples was Nick and Taylor Sheridan, who you might know from the wonderful show Yellowstone. I thought, wow, this is neat. You know, what an interesting opportunity. And I definitely did not jump to the conclusion, oh my gosh, I'm in Taylor Sheridan's presence. He's going to want me for a show. I've been in this business for a really long time, and I am not that naive to just think, oh, I'm in his presence. He's going to like me. That is not how it goes. So I did my 30, 40 minutes. I played and I thought that was a cool night. What a neat opportunity. I shook his hand, said, it's nice to meet you. And I went on my way. And about, I guess, 8 or 9 months after that, I had got a call from the gal that hired me. And I was just sitting on my couch doing the less glamorous part of my job, you know, still trying to convince people to book me, putting tours together, following up on emails, all those things. And it was just a little cold December afternoon. And she called me and I answered. And she said, well, you know, we did some small talk. And I thought, why is she calling me? There's got to be something to it. She can't just be calling to wish me Merry Christmas. Yeah. You know, there's got to be something. So eventually she says, Taylor Sheridan would like your number and I was hoping you'd allow me to give it to him. And I thought, well, yeah, of course you can give it to him. Goodness. So she did. And within 5 minutes, he called and his casting producer was in touch with me. And he said, look, we're putting together this new show with Blake Shelton, and I would really like you to be a part of it. I was wondering if you'd be curious. It's called The Road. that's really all the information I had, except that they're going to take musicians to be an opener for a headliner, and we're really going to go on tour from one venue to the next, just like you do on a real life tour. And by the end of the day, I had done an hour Zoom interview with the casting producer, like a whirlwind of a day. And I got off the call and I thought, wow, what a strange day. And I called my husband and I said, hope your day is going good. I might be on a TV show. I'll fill you in when you get home. So crazy.
Oh my goodness. So let's see. One of the things about that show that seemed really unique was the all of you that were participating, you could play your own music. You didn't have to stick with whatever the TV show, and I think I don't know enough about The Voice or American Idol to know, but it seems like you were actually able to play your own music. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. And at the same time, set up Hey There Cowboy, because DJ Sam will play that in just a moment. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So really, that was the main part of the pitch of the show that got me interested, is they said artists are going to be able to play their originals. And I had been approached by American Idol and The Voice before, and that's why I chose not to, is there's no shame in those shows. I think they're a wonderful platform for artists to get out there. But personally, I think fans are going to connect to my music more, or me as an artist more, if they hear the songs that I write, and hopefully they say, wow, that sounds like an authentic song, because I really believe fans have a sixth sense for telling what's authentic and what's not. And so I was sold, along with the idea of fans getting to see what it's like for musicians on the road, like in real life. That's something that has not been done before. Right. And, you know, all too often, and I love my job, and I'm so grateful that I get to have it. But there's all too often people just think that it's like all sunshine and rainbows on the road, and that you never have airplane delays, that you never sleep in the worst hotel room of your life, that you never, you know, are crying before a show because you miss your friends or your husband and your family, or going through a hard time, and then have to just get it together and go out there because you have to put a smile on your face, because that's what people came to see. So to have the behind the scenes of the road was really intriguing to me. And I thought that would be a really great way for people to get to know me better as an artist, the real me, because I try to be as authentic as I can and bring that to their TV screen. So for the second episode, I was really excited to play Hey There Cowboy, which was a song that I wrote from going to many, many rodeos, playing at many rodeos, and hearing a lot of really weird pickup lines used on all my friends. So I finally thought, we'll just write a song. Like, we're going to say hi to a cowboy. And it went over really well. I got to play that in Dallas. And I guess now Sam's going to play it for you. And if
yeah.
you want to pick up line,
here you go. Yeah. Here's a single. Hey There Cowboy. Here we go.
Hey there, cowboy, what's your name? I ain't into playing no games. Hey there, cowboy, what you drinking? Yeah, I'll have one too. And I've been thinking, if one drink turns into more, and you dance me around the floor, meet the neon black so bright, and the jukebox grooving slow, if you play your cards just right,
welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. Olivia, what a great song.
Hey there, thank you.
Yeah, Bobby, you know, can try that out later.
Yeah.
You know, I think we were talking the other night. We were talking about you got some coaching, some assistance, you know, and some of the other contestants did too on the show. And I guess you mentioned Gretchen Wilson.
Yeah, she was our tour manager, momager, is what she kind of called herself on the show. And it was really great to meet her. I have to be super transparent and say that I was never a huge Gretchen Wilson fan growing up. I definitely lean more towards the traditional country music. But after meeting her, I definitely gave her music another listen because she was just a straight shooter in person and really supportive. Honestly, there was the first show where they took the guitar from me and they said, "We just want you to sing. We don't want you to play." Okay. And for me, that's like taking my security blanket. That's like Linus losing his blanket on Charlie Brown. So I was a little nervous, and she definitely coached me through. She was like, "Just walk this way, you know, walk this way, and you don't have to worry about what to do with your hands, just sing." So she was great.
Yeah. I remember the name, but you know, I didn't remember some of her songs. Yeah. I looked her up on the internet. Yeah. Redneck Woman, of course.
Oh my goodness. So shall we ask her the bucket list question?
Oh yeah, we're gonna ask that
okay
question.
I'll ask the first one and you can ask the second one. Okay, the first bucket list question is, who would you love to open for if you got the call? Who would be in your top few?
Yeah, a top few. Okay, I get a couple of them. That's so hard, but I think George Strait is like all a given. I am a big, big George Strait fan. Dolly Parton is up there for me because she's still one I could open for, or Willie Nelson. They're like all still attainable openers. But then there's some, you know, maybe they're not just such a mega star. Some other ones that I really have been enjoying is like Cody Johnson, Ian Munsick, Flatland Calvary. There's a lot of really great ones. I mean, there's so many great musicians, but those are a few of my favorites.
Okay, you get to ask the next one.
Now, who would you like to open for you?
Oh, open for me. Oh, gosh. I don't even know if I'm worthy of an opener, but any of those guys, I would allow it, I suppose.
I understand.
I think Cody Johnson's dialing you up right now.
I'll take his call. If I leave, you know why.
Oh, my goodness. This is so much fun. We're going to wrap this segment up so we can get to the next segment in a little bit more music. So, Jim, did you have something you wanted to ask me?
I did. Now, if you enjoy the music you hear on Rendezvous with a Writer, from the Hot Texas Swing Band to the short clips like Olivia Harm's music you're hearing tonight, then you enjoy Bobby's weekly radio show, Out West Hour. Bobby, where can they hear that show?
Well, if you're watching, you'll see that I'm holding up KUPR. It's actually a license plate, KUPR.org. Mm. We are a low-power radio station out of Placidas, New Mexico, but we stream live around the world, 4 o'clock Mountain Time. Every Saturday, you can catch the Out West Hour. And then, of course, I do put it up on Mixcloud, and you can listen. Just go to Mixcloud and look for it. The Out West Hour, or go to the KUPR.org and into the archive. So we have a heart for music just as we do the written word. And that's another reason we're so delighted to be sharing this time with Olivia tonight. let's see.
Are we ready for songwriting?
Yeah, we're going to move into songwriting, Miss Olivia. So let's talk a little bit about songwriting, maybe what inspires you and a little about your process, however you want to kind of get into this topic.
For sure. I can't remember my first day's songwriting, but I do remember that my mom used to say if she ever wondered where I was on the property, she just had to stand outside and listen, because I was usually writing a song about my horse or feeding the cows or my dog or whatever. I was always singing and like writing about everyday life and what I was going through. So I guess I really started at a young age, and then Santa Claus brought me my guitar when I was six. So I started learning how to play guitar. And as funny as it sounds, I definitely had such a wonderful teacher as a mother, but I never really wanted her insight or her help or opinion. I always was kind of stubborn and wanted to do it myself. I knew she was there if I needed it. But I didn't go to her for as much help and teaching as one might imagine. I really was stuck on like figuring it out and kind of blazing my own trail. And so I remember one of the very first songs that I was proud of writing and completed. I'd worked on a few days after school and I thought, well, if I'm going to be a musician, I probably should have a song about where I'm from. And I'm proud to be from a little town in Oregon called Canby. And so I thought, well, that could maybe like I could work on a play on words on that. And so I worked on it and I probably had a couple days under my belt. And finally, I thought I had it wrapped up and I went downstairs to my mom's office and I said, hey, I have a new song I wrote and I'd really like to play it for you. And she said, of course, you know, come on in. And so I sat down and I played it and I was getting through it. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get to the end and she's probably going to have a critique or like some advice for the song or some kind of suggestion. And instead she just looked at me and said that she wished that she would have thought of the hook first. So I took that as a really big compliment. Yeah, and
exactly.
I guess just kind of kept writing from there. And I've found that there's a lot of different ways to songwrite. But my baseline is always that it's authentic. It's coming from a real place. Just because I could write a song about skateboarding doesn't mean I'm going to do it because I wouldn't know the first thing about it. But I write about what I know.
Yeah, and, okay.
I think it should come from a real place.
That's a great answer.
I think that you know a lot about ranching, farming, horses, and rodeos.
I do.
So tell us a little bit about, and then we're going to hear it, This Ain't My First Rodeo. Where'd that song come from? Tell us a little bit about that.
I've always heard that saying, being around the Western lifestyle world. Folks a lot of times when they say, oh, I've done that before, or, you know, this is old hat for me, they'll say, this ain't my first rodeo. And I thought, man, that would sure make a good song title. But I figured somebody else had written it or somebody else would write it. And I kind of put it on the back burner for a really long time. And then after COVID, after like doing so much touring in Texas and really enjoying that and trying to ramp back up on the live shows, I had noticed that it had been a minute since I had sat down and written, because a lot of times, even though folks think, oh, you're on the road, you must just be loaded with inspiration and you must write on the road. Actually, I don't a ton, because if you play for 5 or 6 days in a row, sometimes the very last thing you want to do is get that guitar out on your downtime and keep going. So I had kind of put it on the back. I was focusing on playing, but not as much writing. And it was one of the first band shows that I had booked with my band after COVID, and it had gotten canceled. And I was pretty bummed about it because I'd been looking forward to it. And the boys were all out doing whatever boys do with their day off. But I was bummed sitting in a hotel room. And, you know, what do girls do when things go wrong? Well, they typically call mama. So I did. And she, of course, said, well, why don't you write? You should take this afternoon that you were going to be playing a gig and you should sit down and you should write. And of course, you never want to hear the truth. You know, when you know your mom's right, you're always like, whatever. So I kind of shook it off and got off the phone with her. And I don't know, in a matter of 30 minutes, I had my guitar out and I thought, maybe I'll play around with this idea that's been floating in my head for years. And probably by the end of the hour, I had This Ain't My First Rodeo written. So now you can hear it.
All right. So, Mr. Sam DJ, give us a little of This Ain't My First Rodeo.
This little lady was born a girl, chasing down that morning sun. Break hearts, baby, don't you know?
That was super, Olivia. Thank you. We're talking about, it's not my first rodeo. You know, I can understand that for a cowboy or a cowgirl, but some Eastern dude, where did he get the right to use that saying?
I think anybody can be a cowboy or a cowgirl. You don't have to own a hat. You just got to have that Western spirit inside you, and you go ahead and you use it anytime you want.
I've often wanted to say something like, this ain't my third rodeo, you know, or like something that's not, or this ain't my first podcast, you know, like.
That's right. You know? That's so right.
But still, it's the first rodeo is just always what comes out, right?
It is, but yeah. I know, or you see the little kids sometimes and they have the hat that say, this actually is my first rodeo.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's cute.
So you obviously write alone. I mean, you're very creative on your own, but you also do a lot of co-writing, it seems.
I do.
Yeah. So I have my first question about co-writing is when you know you're going to co-write, you're not just with somebody and you go, you actually know you're going in to meet with somebody. How do you kind of prepare yourself for that experience?
Well, usually when I set up co-writes, like, so when I go to Nashville and I kind of dedicate a week or so to writing, you're actually setting up appointments. So it is like saying, okay, I'm going to meet Wood Newton at 10 a.m. at this time. We're going to give it 3 hours and then break for lunch. And then I'll set up another one at 2 p.m. So you are setting up appointments. It's not willy-nilly. Everybody, you know, you try to make good use of your time and you treat it like a real job because it is a real job, especially in Music City. And then you go in prepared. I have a ton of notes on my phone that, you know, while I am on the road, I may not have the time or even just be in the mood to write sometimes, but I still might see things or hear a phrase and write it down or hear a story and say, oh, that would make a really good song. So I put it in my notes, maybe even record a little voice memo of what I think the melody would sound like. And then it's saved for when I do have that time that I want to dedicate to songwriting and take it to another person. So then you're in your little meeting and you kind of go back and forth. Like, it's kind of like being on a date. So there's a few songwriters now I know, like, we really connect. We really are on the same page. If it's someone new, you're kind of getting to know them. You're a little bit more vulnerable, kind of like you don't want to shoot their ideas down, hoping that they don't, you know, say yours are bad, things like that. But then you finally land on an idea and you say, let's write that one. And then you get to work. And hopefully by the end of the 3 hours or so, you have a song.
Well,
so Wood Newton.
Wood Newton, you know, wasn't that the guy that wrote Private Malone?
I think he wrote Private Malone. That's such an awesome song.
Such a good song.
It's a favorite song of ours.
Oh, it's a great song. And just for like a, you know, a counter story, Wood said that song took like 4 or 5 writing sessions. So sometimes you don't just get it one and done. Sometimes you say, wow, this is a heck of a chorus. And we know this is going to be such a strong song, but it's just not coming to you. And you take, you know, 4 or 5 or as many sessions as it takes to finally get the song done. And Wood said that was one of them that was kind of a long, craftfully mastered song where some of them just fall out of the sky.
Yeah. So you and Wood Newton, who we were just talking about, you wrote Kitty Pool. Tell us about Kitty Pool, and then Mr. DJ is going to play it for us.
You know, I listened to that one about 12 times in a row in the car, just so I got the whole
thing. We still have a CD player in our car.
Yeah, we have an old car.
Oh, bless you for having a CD player. I swear those things are going out of style, but I'm glad you have one.
So tell us about Kitty Pool.
I grew up loving Jolene, as I kind of like mentioned through saying Dolly Parton. And that was one of the first songs I learned to cover. And I always loved playing it. You know, it's a great song. But then I started thinking, okay, what if Jolene takes my man? Then what am I going to do? You know, I probably wouldn't want him anyways. If he's going to run off and he doesn't want to stick around, that's not something that you want to keep around. So young ladies, listen up. If he's going to take off, you don't want him anyways. You're better off without him. Same goes for
Jolene,
the fellas.
Yeah.
And then, but I thought, well, I've got my 2 cow dogs and I really love wine. And if it was nice weather, if it's like a Northern California day where it's not snowing, then I'll maybe get my kiddie pool out and get the garden hose filler up and I'll sit out there and I'd say, adios, buddy. You have a wonderful time with Jolene, but don't bother coming back around here. So I had this idea floating around. I brought it into Wood when we had our songwriter meetup, and he said, I love it. So we wrote it.
Okay.
And this is how it turned out.
All right, here we go. Kiddie pool.
Fantastic.
Bottle of wine and Patsy Cline. What else do you need?
Not too much. I think that'll take care of it.
Was that a fast write, slow write? Take a while.
That was a pretty fast one. No, I think we wrapped it up in about 2 hours, so we didn't even take the full appointment. Good. And I remember afterwards, Wood said, well, that was a good one, Liv. I think we earned ourselves beer. So we went to the local place. Even though I like wine, you know, sometimes the local pubs, you can't trust them for a glass of wine. So I think I remember having a beer to celebrate, but he was pretty excited, which meant a lot because he's a great songwriter.
That's great.
I'm looking at time, and Sam, if you're listening, we just want to go right to the last one that we were hoping we could fit in, Sent from Above. And when we come back, Liv, you can tell us the story behind it. But if you have it, Sam, Sent from Above.
Let's go for it.
Let's see it.
Super
play
song.
That. We are almost out of time, though, yeah. Miss Olivia. Do you want to say what inspired that song?
I can, yeah. It's a story about my husband. And so sometime if you ever want to hear the whole story of how I met my husband, I have like some little links and reels and stuff on that, like on Instagram and Facebook. So that's also a good place to follow me. If you ever want to come catch a live show and hear the full version of a song, I'll be touring around. And hopefully I'll get to see you guys in Santa Clarita, which is coming up. But
Yes.
It's we will see you there. So
thank you.
Yeah. We're going.
I can't wait.
We're going just to see you.
Well, that's what I like to hear, Bobby.
So where would be a good spot for people to go to find you? Website or
yeah, website, oliviaharms.com. I didn't want to trick anyone, so it's pretty easy to find. And all social media, if you want to listen to some of those songs, they're on Spotify, Apple Music, or you can go get yourself a hard copy on the website. I sell merch, so if you still have a CD player, go on.
Yeah. Jim, do you have a little quote?
Did we get a quote? Yeah, well, we have a couple of calls.
Let's okay, quickly.
Yeah, you had an interview with Canvas Rebel
magazine,
and she asked the question, "What do you want to be remembered for?" And you replied, "Music connects people on a higher level than anything else. So I hope my legacy can be writing music that helps others, sheds a positive light on the hard times in life, and leaves a memorable impression." And then I just had this little thing I picked up from Chris Gustafson. You know, he's introducing his song, Me and Bobby McGee. And he says, "If it sounds country, man, that's what it is. It's a country song."
I love it.
Oh, thank you so much, Olivia Harms, for being with us tonight, the original Rhinestone Cowgirl. We're so fun to have you. We want to say a special thank you to DJ and LA Talk Radio owner, and now in his 18th year with LA Talk Radio, Sam Hassan, and Blue Cottage Agency, Clicks by Madison, Alex Dormont, and the Hot Texas Swing Band. And next week, come on back, and we'll be talking with author Clarissa Willis about her story, her book, Carrie Ingalls, The Forgotten Sister. And this is sure to be another really delightful, engaging rendezvous. Do you have a final comment?
As we always say, it's always a great day out west.
Keep writing, Miss Olivia, and we'll keep listening.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We'll see you down the trail. See you in Santa Clarita.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.